Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Rumble Rock Podcast! Starring Dave Schilling, Sebastian Telfair, Pavel Podkazin, Joey Devine, Sergey Monya, Blake Stepp, Sean Keane, Andre Emmett, Peter John Ramos, special guest CJ Toledano, Patreons Isaac Cohen, thank you Isaac, Sam Pfaff, thank you Sam, Tyler Clark Brown, thank you Tyler. Musical guest, Snow Patrol! And now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock podcast, and we are back with another quick episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, America's fiancé, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Joey. I'm real good. No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, well, we're getting horny, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, we took a little 1 week break. This is going up on Monday again.
Yeah.
How was your week off?
Oh my God, Joey. The things I did. I performed in Elk Grove. Mm-hmm. I trimmed mats out of my dog's fur.
Cool.
I performed at the Punchline in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Your home club. I finally watched the movie Speed Racer, and I did a photo shoot for the upcoming album America's Uncle Dad.
Exciting stuff. Do you have a release date on that album yet?
We don't. We also don't have the photos approved yet because
they're too sexy.
A little bit, maybe. They're maybe too patriotic, but I feel like it's almost like no anti-patriotic. Yeah.
No such thing.
So get excited for that coming, I imagine, this fall.
Well, Sean, do you have another thing coming, you imagine, this fall that you want to tell the listeners about?
That's right. Thank you. Yes, for those of you who may be familiar with our recurring Patreon feature, Round Book Rock, where we analyze, talk about books like Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict and Armin Katayan, and Furious George, and also memoirs by Ray Allen and Scottie Pippen, soon to be talking about the book The Cap. Round Book Rock has been accepted to San Francisco's Lit Crawl, which is a literary festival in San Francisco. We have a tentative commitment from co-host Corbin A. Smith.
Wow. We'll see. Wow,
the B.A. Baracus of podcasting.
I don't believe he's going
to
leave.
It's hard to get him on a plane. You have to knock him out and put him on a plane. From Willamette. Anyway, it's going to be, if you're in San Francisco, it is on October 21st at 6:30 p.m. at Blondie's Bar and No Grill on Valencia Street.
It's classic. That's a classic Bar and No Grill.
Yeah, we just got our date and time. And we will be talking to a to-be-determined guest.
Well, that's exciting. I always like a guest to be named later.
Yeah, it's literary because we are obviously literary. They said they don't know what to expect from a sports writer. That's why they assigned us a bar. Mm-hmm.
Sean, my next question for you is, you went to the University of California, Berkeley.
I did.
Are you excited for their football team to play only Stanford for the rest of eternity?
I mean, look,
it's the Pac-2. It's a big thing.
The Pac-2. Yeah, because it looks like Washington's. So Oregon and Washington are joining the Big Ten, which USC and UCLA already did. I assume Colorado is going back to the Big 12 along with, I guess, Washington State and Oregon State.
I think currently Washington State and Oregon State are still in the Pac-4.
Yeah,
I think, and, but
the Arizona teams are going to leave. I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I don't follow college sports.
So there is a Pac-8 still, but it's the 8 you wouldn't want. And Colorado is definitely going to leave. So I guess it's a Pac-7. one thing. Now look. Playing a full season just against Stanford would be amazing because one of the hidden great traditions in sports is that Cal and Stanford both have very extensive rally committees, people who do embarrassing cheers, wear embarrassing polo shirts, like
go on the field when they're not supposed to during
go
games.
On the field. They have yell leaders who are. It's not good. And, you know, most of those people go on to, like, the guy who I knew who used to be the rally committee chairman who looked like Kubiak is now, like, basically the vice president of all student loans. So, I mean, I shouldn't make fun of them that much because they will probably help destroy people's lives in 25 years. But there's a great moment. So Cal and Stanford, the winner gets an axe, an old axe from the 19th century
because of redwood trees.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I guess that's the reason,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I think it was just like it's one of those traditions where like literally somebody stole an axe from someone else, and then apparently there were like horribly dangerous police chases at the time.
Oh, at the time?
Well, because cars were so dangerous, and like people were like shooting at each other because they had to, you have to take a boat to get from Berkeley to Stanford or whatever at the time. Anyway, so there's a stare down at the end of the game where the team that has the axe has like a contingent of nerds guarding it. And then the other contingent of nerds like stares down the other nerds and they all think about losing their virginity someday. And it's an incredible visual, and I would love to see it 12 times a year.
Well, Sean, except I will say these days I would say the contingent of nerds at Stanford are all Jordan Peterson, Andrew Tate people probably. So they are not thinking about losing their virginity because they're not allowed to talk to women.
Yeah, and they're actually thinking about semen retention. Yeah. Whereas in Berkeley, it's more like, I mean, it's the same kind of nerd, but not quite as hostile, but like almost like it would be disrespectful for me to approach a woman.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to it probably masturbate a lot. That's my guess. It's a big anime place. So it's pretty exciting. But I would like this to maybe be the point where Cal just acknowledges that their not good at major sports and just focus on the things they're good at. Men's gymnastics, mm-hmm. women's swimming, mm-hmm. and rugby. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't know what we're doing there. I'm not really sure what the point is. The games aren't very well attended. I don't know. I mean, they're kind of, it's fun to go to the games, I guess, but it would still kind of be fun if it was just like shitty football teams playing each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you're watching the NFL anyway. So
sure.
I feel like you can have your little songs. And, I just your Saturday rally.
Think it's going to be hilarious that those two schools will refuse to leave. Yeah. They're dead.
I'm just looking forward to
conference.
The Rose Bowl is going to be very exciting next year, though, when Rutgers plays UNLV.
All right. We've talked.
Do you think San Diego State will join the Pac-12? It's going to be like Boise State, San Diego State, UNLV, De La Salle High School in mm-hmm. Concord. That's actually better than some of the teams. Modern can day.
They get, can they get modern day? Yeah.
Yeah. Modern day and De La Salle have been invited to the Pac-10. Yeah. And then, like, I guess Fresno State, maybe? Listen,
what about that one? The one in Chico that Aaron Rodgers went to. Can they get that?
Oh, Butte College. Yeah, they can get Butte College. Yeah. Maybe. Not if Rodgers throws his weight around. But could Gonzaga start a football program that gets really close to winning a lot and then loses at the end all the time?
Mark Few is somehow still
Mark Few becomes a football coach, too. He's like, just that intense.
All right. That's the most we'll ever talk about college sports on this podcast. Sean, some business off the top, patreon.com/roundrockpod, t-shirt store in the link in the description, call us on the phone in the link in the description, and let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News, basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our first story, our top story, a thing that made us both upset.
Yes.
Is a clearly right-wing planted story about LeBron James's I Promise School. Do you want to talk us through this one?
Yes, this is based on a story from the Akron Beacon Journal, which has gone way downhill since Brian Windhorst mm-hmm. left. We all know that. Everybody knows that. The Fox News
headline. I am currently holding up two fingers asking what's going on at the Akron Beacon Journal.
So the Fox News headline is that LeBron James-backed Promise School delivers, quote, discouraging test results. And then it says colon report because they don't know how to write headlines.
And also we should say that we're using the Fox News headline because that is the one that every aggregator also used, from Complex to that bodybuilding message board where they had that argument about how many days are in the week.
So LeBron James's school started in 2018 mm-hmm. with a class of third graders and fourth graders. Mm-hmm. And so they have none of the incoming eighth graders, apparently. The third graders that are the original third graders coming in mm-hmm. have not passed the Ohio State proficiency test in mathematics in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And people are outraged. Mm-hmm. Joey, do you think the outrage has anything at all to do with the school being founded by prominent African-American athlete LeBron James and 60% of the student population being Black?
I do. Yeah. Might be a little bit. I also think this is probably a planted story by some disgruntled Ohio school employees, I would guess.
I assume Yeah, or like it's like a weird billionaire charter school guy who wants to open his own schools that show you how to recycle your own urine or something. Yeah. Like, it's like somehow the Sacklers are going to be behind it. Like, and like Hannah Gadsby somehow ghost wrote the article. That's who paid for her art show.
Sean,
okay,
walk us through why this is not surprising or even really a news story at all, that they haven't passed the standardized test for so, 8th grade math.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest idea is that standardized tests are bullshit. They are a relic of a terrible education policy from the George W. Bush era. Again, this is just sort of like a general decade-long right-wing plot to defund public education. And that's why funding is tied to standardized tests, something that people who actually know about education do not acknowledge. It actually makes education worse because kids have to learn how to pass a standardized test and spend lots of time doing that. But in this specific case, the Promise School only takes kids from the bottom percent of all area students. And so this first class, you couldn't even be in this school if you weren't two grade levels behind going in. 28% of the students have disabilities. The school district actually lowered how many students with disabilities they'd even take because of staff shortages and union requirements that they basically just didn't have enough administrators, which is a great move just to not let kids with learning disabilities attend school at all. But so basically, they're doing fine in, they're doing much better in reading. Like the first year, all of the students were in the first percentile of readers. A year later, the fourth graders were in the 16th percentile. The third graders scored in the ninth percentile. Anyway, here's what happened. The school started in 2018-19, and it went pretty well. A lot of scores really improved. Joey, was there anything unusual about the 2019-20 school year?
Yeah, COVID.
Yeah, giant pandemic happened and canceled school. And then the next year was done with remote learning, which is notoriously bad for children with
learning disabilities.
Yeah. So, they've had like three actual years of school with basically the worst students in Northeast Ohio. And they're still actually doing a lot better reading.
Well, let's walk that back. They're not the worst students.
No. But they're
behind.
They're from,
everyone's behind.
Yeah. They're from the pool of the worst performing students.
Yes.
Yeah. The
worst performing. Yeah. That's.
Yeah. And
I just wanted to make it clear we weren't saying this is a school full of Ferris Buellers.
And so based on like metrics that aren't Bush administration test scores, or like the other thing about these test scores is that any state can just set up whatever they want. It doesn't really, it's not like it's a national standard. It's like whatever, you know, John Kasich decided a third grader needed to know about math, or I can't think of anyone.
Thank you, Ernie
Jim Jeffries, maybe. Ernie Johnson believes. So basically, based on like actual educational metrics, they're improving. They just haven't passed a standardized test. But it doesn't, I'm not really sure why anyone, they're very specific about not mentioning that it's just math in the headlines, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're actually doing well in other things. Anyway, people are freaking out. And really, the biggest problem with public education in America is that it doesn't get very much money. And LeBron James gives over $1 million to the school every year. So I have a fair amount of confidence that these kids are doing okay. Yep. That's all.
I also should point out that I am the walking example of why standardized test scores are bullshit, because I am a 40-year-old college dropout who drives for Uber Eats for a living and had a 1.7 grade point average and scored in the 99th percentile in every standardized test I ever took. All right.
Yeah. You're not allowed to go to the promised school.
Yeah. So just remember, make your kids do their homework, because no one did that for me. All right.
Yeah, that's actually kind of like the main thing that the school is about, is like, you tell your kids to do your homework. They don't have to promise to do their work. Like,
yeah. Anyway, and yeah, also, maybe don't believe any story ever shared by NBA Central.
That's a good point.
Sean, bigger news. Well, not bigger news, but less infuriating news. Mark Jackson finally fired, like, 2 months after everyone else at ESPN got fired.
That was really weird to me. Like, Jeff Van Gundy got fired right after the finals. Mm-hmm. So it makes me think that they maybe had some other plan for Mark Jackson. But Mark Jackson seems to have just said, like, he just found out then. Because there was a rumor that he was going to get demoted to the backup team with, I guess, Mark Jones.
Yeah, which would have been infuriating.
I mean, just it would have been hilarious, so, but like, it just a catchphrase.
Catchphrases. It would have been like watching an SNL from like 1999.
I love Mark Jones, but you need to balance Mark Jones. Uh-huh, like, you can't have two people talking about fish grease.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. that's how it goes.
Anyway, do you think him not being on television will make it make Mark Jackson more hireable as a head coach? Because I kind of think it will.
Yeah, I think it might. Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, what he would do, I would think, would be to take a coaching job, which he hadn't really. I mean, his only coaching experience is 3 years with the Warriors, but I don't think he's been like an assistant coach or anything. He basically
went,
like,
he'll take an assistant coach job. Don't you think he's gonna coach some he'll take like a 2-year college job and then be back in the NBA? That would be
he could do that. I mean, but what he should really do is just like become an assistant on one of his friend's staffs. So it's like, I just can't imagine. That was the same thing with Jeff Van Gundy, where it was kind of like he was interested in going back to coaching, but like it doesn't really work that well when you take a really long layoff and come back, unless you're like Hubie Brown.
The problem with Mark Jackson as an assistant coach is he is incapable of doing it, because if you remember right, this is a man who in his last year as a player was signed by the Utah Jazz to back up John Stockton. And then kept telling people he should be starting over John Stockton.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he should have, but yeah, it wouldn't.
No,
I mean,
he should not have. He was worse than John Stockton at that point.
But I'm trying to think, like, where could Mark Jackson acceptably be an assistant and not freak out? And it's like a
nowhere.
Small.
I don't think it's anywhere.
Because I can't.
Popovich, maybe.
I guess, but I don't. But like, why would Pop want to do that? No, like, Thibodeau wouldn't really work. Because it has to be someone who's like established enough that they're clearly the boss. But yeah, you're right. So he's going to coach like Florida. You know, he could coach the University of California.
No,
when
he's going to go coach St. John's. Seven. Right? St. John's will hire him.
Well, they hired Chris Mullin, so exactly. They. Yeah, that's perfect. You can go coach.
You know what he actually feels
like? He actually should just be a college coach, though.
But you know what he actually feels like?
He'd be kind of good at it.
He feels like, man, we're doing more college talk. He feels like a Georgetown head coach.
Oh.
Doesn't he?
although at some point they might just be like, do we need to hire more guys from the 80s from the Big East? Like, I don't know if after the Patrick Ewing experience that you're like, can we just get another 90s Nick in there?
I just mean, like, Georgetown always has like a guy who gives speeches as their coach.
Well, that's why I think he could be a good college coach. And like, and you know, I mean, it's not nice that he's talks to his players like that, but you can kind of get away with doing that to college players more than professionals who have like agents and media literacy, you know?
All right.
So yeah, no, I mean, it'll help because he's not like, because every time he's on TV, he's actively hurting his NBA head coach chances. So, and Van Gundy never really wanted to go back to coaching, honestly.
No. But, and also, ESPN, rehire Jeff Van Gundy now.
Yeah, I mean,
it was the pair was the problem.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
And also, like, they are about to make some really questionable decisions with ESPN.
We're going to see, there's going to be so much Richard Jefferson this season.
Well, there's also going to be so much like crappy streaming content. That's where they're going. Yeah. Is like ESPN. What if they did the same Max thing where they were like, we're P. Like what?
Well,
you know, the least,
plus,
the worst
right?
part of it.
They'll call it plus,
but yeah. Like it'll be, I don't know. It's like, kind of feel like Robert Iger's pretty old now, Joey. Mm-hmm. I feel like they might have panicked
a little bit
and getting like a retired old man.
I'm glad you're giving it, using his proper name. Not
yeah, Bob I'm not. Iger. I'm not like I'm not going to pretend like we're homies. Yeah, like. yeah, no, I mean, he's busy trying to break multiple unions right now, so. Yeah. You know, it's not going to happen yet, but yeah. You know what was interesting, though? Mark Jackson actually tried to apply religious oil to ESPN's ratings to make them jump up again. And it didn't. Yeah. Actually, ESPN's basketball ratings are great. I don't. Anyway.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ethan Sherwood-Strauss.
Sorry. Like, why do we care?
Their ratings were actually good this season.
Yeah.
The reason they were down before was COVID, and they were down because... the exact amount as all of television.
NBA playoff games that started at 11 a.m. didn't get the same ratings. That's weird.
With no crowd, and it was very weird. Yeah, I can't believe.
Yeah, there were like four basketball games every day, and it felt like homework to watch. The first round
3 months later than people would normally be watching NBA games. Yeah, I can't believe.
Yeah, while everyone in America was mentally ill from just like horribly depressed. Yeah. Speaking of horribly depressing things,
you know,
Joey,
what the ratings being down because we're too woke is the exact same story as the LeBron James school. test scores being down.
It's like, we're going to take one number and make a decision about society as a whole.
Yeah.
And we don't even care if the number means anything.
All right. Speaking of going woke and going broke, Sean, the Orlando Magic.
Yes. Two amazing things happening in Orlando.
This is an entirely right wing news block. Yes, I'm including Mark Jackson as right wing.
Probably. Yeah.
The Orlando Magic gave $50,000 to a Ron DeSantis pack. And Sean, my first question for you is, has a basketball team as a corporation ever given money to a presidential candidate before?
Not directly.
The answer
like this.
Is no. Yeah, no. They're supposed to come from the shitty owners. You know.
So I believe this got discovered by my internet friend Alex Schultz, who is a former sports writer for the SF Gate and now does politics and news stuff. Anyway, I think he was just searching election filings and then just noticed like, hey, it's weird that the Orlando Magic gave like $50,000 to a guy too. It's a Ron DeSantis super PAC and it's called something stupid.
It's called Yummy. I'm hungry. It was hungry. That's what he said, right?
It was
yummy.
He didn't actually say it, but yes.
No, he didn't.
Damn. No, it was one of those bad lip reading things.
Oh, that's too bad.
Sorry. I wish it was real.
I thought it was real. That sucks.
I did too. It's called Never Back Down. So it'd be basically stand your ground is his. So it basically, there's a weird, I mean, because the Supreme Court is corrupt, a super PAC can spend an unlimited amount of money from donors, but cannot donate directly to a candidate. And so they said they were just supporting a governor, a Florida governor, for the continued prosperity of Central Florida. Now, they gave this donation on, I believe, May 19th. Mm-hmm. And he announced he was running in an amazing event on Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. 5 days later. Mm-hmm. So while he technically was not a presidential candidate, what else was that super PAC doing? And also, everyone knew he was running for
president. They were fighting Disney, Sean.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like Disney's their jersey sponsor. They have like a there's no corporation they have a longer relationship. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a really weird decision.
Well, there is one corporation they have a longer relationship with, Sean.
And Amway.
I was going to say Blackwater.
Blackwater. Yeah. That was a better joke. They're just like, well, we only like really shady criminal businesses, and we feel like Ron DeSantis is going to be a good source for that. So, yeah, that's what they... So it's weird in a lot of ways. They're owned by the DeVos family. Technically, it's Dan DeVos who owns the team, and then Dick DeVos is married to Betsy DeVos, and he's the one that ran a really embarrassing campaign for governor of Michigan, and she was Trump's Secretary of Education. So this is like a shots fired against Trump. It's just a weird, like, it feels like they're lashing out in a very strange way against people that sort of were their allies, mm-hmm. too.
Well, they're definitely lashing out against their president, coach, and players.
Who are all
black.
And the players. Shouts to Larry Nance Jr. for bringing up that that they're openly donating to kind of an open racist.
Yeah, the guy who said slavery was good for the slaves. Yeah,
he said that slaves gained valuable skills.
Yeah, make sure you get that correct or else it will end up in an email.
There are some podcasters who really want you to know that that's not that bad a stance. That actually makes a lot of sense.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, check out yesterday's Daily Dunks.
Daily Dunks.
All right.
Now, there's another magic-related wokeness story, too, Joey.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac, who I thought got cut. I had a dream that he got waived.
Well, they have... So his contract... here's how it works. Because he has not played... He's played 11 games in 3 years.
Yeah.
The Magic... decided not to spend money in a certain way, and his contract became only partially guaranteed for this season. So he makes 17 something million dollars, and only like seven of it is guaranteed. So the cut date is January 10th, and they would cut like $28 million off there. Also, next year's salary they would also be able to get rid of. And again, he's played 11 games in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And so, the games he did play, he was even before this spate of injuries, he was only pretty good.
He wasn't good in those 11 games.
He was like, oh, he's good at defense, but maybe his offense will get good. That's why we're going to sign him.
He also wasn't really that great in college.
It's important to remember that our friend Mo Spates saw this coming. Because when he was a rookie, when Jonathan Isaac was a rookie, he invited the entire Orlando Magic, including our friend Maurice Spates, to see him preach, and none of them went because that church is insane, apparently.
Yeah. And now, you know, it is, he did have a horrible knee injury.
Yeah.
It sucked that he missed the whole season, and then he hurt his hamstring, and then he also did that for the national anthem.
Yeah.
He wrote an entire book about standing during a Black Lives Matter protest and saying that it was because of Jesus.
Yeah.
He is an anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist. He has appeared on the ultra conservative network Newsmax, which is named after the kind of contract that he will never receive.
Yeah.
And now he has a new clothing brand called Unitas. It is supposed to be a rival to Nike. He announced it on Newsmax, and he, quote, said it is meant to counter the woke agenda of retail brands.
Now, we should say
that a hoodie costs $120.
Yes, but also we need to, for the listeners, we need to explain how Unitas is spelled.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Johnny Unitas. Do you think Jonathan Isaac knows Johnny Unitas exists first?
No, I also don't think he Googled Unitas, because there's like a bank, a finance company. There's even another custom sports apparel company. So this is Unitus.
Yeah, it's Unwantus.
Yeah, This one is with an I. The custom apparel place has one instead of the I.
My mistake.
Which they appeared to do first. It kind of their logo is like a torch with like an eagle in it. It kind of looks like the New Orleans Pelicans logo. So
it's also weird.
One of the ugliest logos in the NBA.
Weird it's spelled unit us, even without the
unit us. Yes.
Yeah. I would say unit us sounds like a corporation in a cyberpunk story that is like turning people into cyborgs or something.
Well, and do you know why they have that name, Joey?
Mm-hmm. No, why?
Because it's a movement. It's one that starts with you and ends in us.
Yeah, I got that part.
The about page starts with, "We don't have to hide." That is just very weird.
I mean, you.
It also
now
says,
that they've arrested everyone who was at January 6th, that's probably true.
Let me just read you this real quickly. For too long, the sports and lifestyle apparel game has been dominated by companies with divisive agendas. Greatness has been defined only by how you perform, apart from who you are and how you live. Mm-hmm. And cancel culture has the millions of people who hold traditional values wondering, what if I'm the only one? Now, why do you think Jonathan Isaac would think that greatness shouldn't have to do with how you perform?
Because he's been injured for 3
years. Yeah, he never plays. He never plays, but he's still. Joey, do you think it's just cool clothes?
Of course not. No.
No, it's a community of people rallied around faith, family, freedom, and the pursuit of true greatness. Together, we rise above by working every day to be the best we can be, joyfully serving others with integrity and standing for what's right.
Sean,
once again, they sell sweatpants.
Sean, I can't live in this world anymore. Just like what we've all become is like. It's like copywriting somehow took over the world at some point.
Well, and like these are ugly clothes, Joey.
Yeah.
It's basically the New Orleans Pelicans logo, and it's a brand that other people have already taken the name for. Mm-hmm. And it's like, these are not affordable clothes either.
No.
These are $40 t-shirts.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who, like, is there a big market for people who, like, know enough about Jonathan Isaac to buy this? Even if you are, like, a right-wing anti-vaxxer, I just don't think this is going to work the way they think it does. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's built to sell to his church. Anyway, yes. I am done talking about this. It's upsetting to me. I cannot handle it anymore. But please bookmark this page so we can read that paragraph to David Roth next time he's on. I want to hear it live. His reaction to it. Sean, we had our friend CJ Toledano on. Full disclosure, I was having computer problems, so you're listening to the voice, the Zoom recording of this. If the sound is crappier than normal, sorry. But to talk about a good clothing line, and then some other NBA player clothing lines from Follow Through Studio, here are Sean and I with our friend CJ Toledano. We are here with our friend from Follow Through Studios, who dropped a new set of basketball merch. Is that what you'd call it, CJ? Is it merch?
Merch. I don't know the definition of merch. Like, it actually is an attempt. I'm like, I'm making stuff I want to wear, and so I guess it's like an apparel collection, but all of those words sound too serious.
Yeah.
Like an Eric Spolstra video store t-shirt, and then shorts that are showing how loyal you are to hacking League Pass or getting at the game. So I'm like, this is all shit that I would love to wear, and it's silly NBA stuff and basketball stuff. So yeah, it's merch. It's an apparel line at its most serious. So yeah.
Now CJ, first question for you. When you became a stand-up comedian / comedy writer, did you then see yourself, was this always the plan to become a sports media production company and then also a clothing line?
No.
I mean, when CJ started stand-up, I believe you wanted to make horror movie parody films with Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
But
you know, you say this, I don't know how I'm able to pay any bills. I don't know how this is evolved. But no, I mean, I guess I wasn't a good enough stand-up or comedy writer that I was forced to find something that is even more impossible and then just commit to that even harder at every single opportunity. So yeah, I mean, like, didn't imagine it. Even when I was in it that first year, I mean, you guys, I was doing this pod, I feel like, from the beginning.
Yeah.
And probably I talked to you guys while I was at the Pistons, and I was like, I'll probably do this, and then I'll move back to LA and continue this whole do packets and cross my fingers that we can get a job for 13 weeks. But now that's shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
my line of work is thriving. Harrison. So yeah, I'm very grateful.
So CJ, first off, we've had you on before, but you know, that was a long time ago. So why don't let our listeners know, first off, what is Follow Through?
Yeah.
And then, so who are they giving money to besides you and your newborn son?
Yeah. So Follow Through is, it's all jargon. I'll say the jargon version. Mm-hmm. We're a creative studio that focuses on the fun of sports, you know, focusing on telling the stories of players and teams and leagues off the court more than on the court. Like, we don't care about stats. We care that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a fashion icon. We care that Serge Ibaka likes cooking weird exotic food and making his friends eat it. We care about, you know, the shit that players are really interested in off the court and want to, like, dive into that as professionally as they can. And we create those opportunities and, like, take those opportunities and turn them into shows, series, social media. We also do the fun and funny stuff for Nike and Jordan and the NFL and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, my background is in comedy. My passion's in comedy, but also in basketball.
And your passion is in basketball. Let's be honest here.
Yeah. And I happen to be funny and then, you know, have ran in our circles. And so we focus on that stuff. And then the merch stuff came about too. And so, in the last, like, 6 months, I'm really kind of pushing on some of this merch stuff, and so we're trying to do fun shit in basketball and in sports in general, and try to keep making that a business that you know, continues to grow over time.
Yeah.
But we're entering year three of this thing, and I'm like, it's crazy that it continues, you know.
Yeah. And I should say, just right off the bat, the Eric Spolstra video t-shirt that you are selling is the best NBA t-shirt I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, it's in the product description, but, like, so many weird things have lined up for me personally of, like, you know, he was a Filipino dude who was a video room guy. You know, and found himself, you know, working with in the league. And I'm like, you know, I'm Filipino. He's an icon to our people. worked at a Blockbuster, and it, I mean, people who have followed through for the last couple of years, like, I always try to sneak in the 90s nostalgia and a lot of Blockbuster stuff. And to this day, it's my favorite job I've ever worked. And yeah, to be able to sneak that back and find a shirt that can have all of those things,
yeah,
was awesome.
It's
and
amazing. I was like,
this is to be made available to everybody.
The Sandman. There's also a Sandman shirt for our friends.
Yep.
Not the comic book for nerds. or the comic book for children. Adam yep. Sandler, of course.
He's a pickup god. You know, it's like yeah. we have more Adam Sandler playing basketball footage than like him putting out good movies. You know what yeah. I mean?
when he played a basketball scout in Hustle,
yeah,
was anyone surprised that he gave a good dramatic performance? Because he's been dressing like a basketball assistant yes. coach since he was like 16 years old.
Well, and he's got the dream. Like, yes, I haven't loved his comedy movies of the last decade, but like everything he's done has been either to hang out with a bunch of his friends or go on vacation on an yeah. island. And then this one was like, yeah, he's really into pick up basketball and like going to NBA games. So why yeah. not make Hustle? Yeah. And the fact that like Anthony was a lead, you know, had a lead role in that is like, you know, these are all things that I would do if I had millions of dollars and was a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he's doing it.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, you're a Lakers fan. You're the biggest LeBron fan I know. You're an, I would describe.
Honestly, mm-hmm. I'm turning the corner. I came to the Lakers because I wanted to, you know, because I'm a LeBron fan.
I was going to get to that. Yeah.
Well, it's where you live. Like, there's something nice about, like, I found that difficult living in Los Angeles, that I had so many like long term rival resentments against LA teams
yeah.
that I was like really trying to just focus on like the sparks.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't know anything about hockey, but I need to maybe just become an LA Kings fan. So there's something yeah. like I hate even being tangentially a San Jose Sharks fan. But yeah, like LeBron coming to Los Angeles seems like it was a perfect storm for you.
Yeah, it was a good gateway into Lakers fandom. And then, yeah, like Megan's in the business, so we can't move away from here. Mm-hmm. Our kid is born here. Like we yeah. live in East LA and, you know, it's Dodgers country. Like Lakers and I'm like, my kid's probably going to like the Lakers. I love the, you know, and I've enjoyed going to games and stuff and living, you know, we live like 12 minutes from Staples or Crypto. But you know, that'll be changed very soon.
I have a word of warning for you though.
Yes.
My dad would have said, I'm sure my son is going to be a San Francisco Giants fan, but I am an Oakland A's fan.
Oh man.
So you better keep that kid away from the Clippers, is what I'm telling you.
You guys know, I don't know if you've seen all of the outdoor courts and parks out here were, Ballmer poured a ton of money into the renovation. Yeah. The court that we play at three times a week is a Clippers court.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, all of us were like, that's not changing anyone's mind. But we'll see. I mean, if my kid's a Clippers fan, you know, I gotta, I'll support him, but I'm not rooting for the Clippers.
Yeah. I have a distinct memory. I have a family of Giants fans, like an entire family. And in 1989, I was 6 years old and I was like Bash Brothers baby at a family gathering of like 100 angry Irish San Francisco Giants fans as Ricky Henderson just ran all over them. And I was the only person happy.
That's great.
Yeah.
go ahead. Yeah. Well, we have a young friend who, his parents don't really care about sports at all, but he obviously has like a Dodger hat, but his name is Dallas. So I'm mm-hmm. trying to just steer him into like, could he just have Mavericks gear because it has his own actual name on mm-hmm. it? Like, could that work? I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, I was hanging out with that kid the other day and he's a LeBron James fan. So I'm don't sure. worry about
see,
it.
It's the only time I've like babysat a 2 year old and all he wanted to watch was dunk compilations.
Yeah.
I just showed Conrad and one mixtape volume 3 the other day. And he likes dribbling and 90s and early 2000s hip hop soundtracks. So yeah.
It's pretty good.
So he is your son. It's official.
His favorite player might be Skip to My Lou. Like, yeah.
Is he a CJ too?
He is a CJ, but like, okay. Yeah, we're not calling him CJ at all. I don't want him to be a CJ. Yeah. I'm not going to get
that. Remind your wife too much of like the 2016 Indiana Pacers
that had how many had, CJs? Like, and
well,
how many
they
TJs?
Had a lot of TJs and CJs. Like they had like six in 2 years. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you though, outside of LeBron, now that you're an adopted late period Laker fan, who is your favorite Laker?
My favorite Laker is Austin Reeves.
Oh, good, because we have some questions.
Followed by Rui Hachimura. And then, you know, honestly, I liked Schroeder. I was sad to see him go.
Only point guard in the league who can do a kickflip.
Yeah, see, I like that. And, like, man, in the darkest moments of these last couple of seasons, he's a guy who was like, I don't care about all you guys. I'm going to go out and get buckets and like really had pulled us back in a lot of these games. So I miss him. He definitely would have been in my top guys. Yeah. I think Austin and Rui are really my guys these days.
CJ, I've got a t-shirt. This just gave me a t-shirt idea for your next drop.
And it's dropping soon.
It's a Dennis. It's Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, but it's Dennis Schroeder. It's Dennis Schroeder's Pro Skater 2.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. One thing I loved about Rui was the Warriors and the Wizards played a preseason game in Japan, and Rui made this like great, thoughtful speech in Japanese. Yep. Then he handed the mic to Draymond. And Draymond just went, "Konnichiwa!" And then said some stuff that no one understood.
In the most American, he was he was having fun just saying that over and over again.
Yeah.
Right when he landed, that's a great clip.
The best clip from
was cut it right after that, so it's just a really funny response.
The best thing that happened in that trip, though, is have you seen the Kevon Looney Samurai photo?
Oh yes, I have seen that.
Yeah, that's the best thing that happened there. All right, CJ. So Austin Reeves, I have some questions for you. Okay. Let's talk about his new facial hair. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it looks like all of comedians who decide to grow facial hair it's fair. You guys actually is a little bit more groomed than him, but yeah, he looks like an improviser.
Yeah. Well, and he's also like, it's definitely like a guy who's not confident about his jawline and chin, which is, I mean, it makes him more lovable to me.
But he's him, Sean. What do you, I don't know why.
He is him. He's him. That's a good point. He is him. Have you seen? Well, I my theory is that he's trying to emphasize the hillbilly part of Hillbilly Kobe.
Yeah,
because he's like, I don't know if this Kobe comparison is gonna last, but I can keep the hillbilly part.
Yeah.
Have you seen his new shoe?
Yeah, you're a sneakerhead. Have you seen the Riggerers,
AR ones?
Yeah.
Ice cream themed insole.
I've seen those, and will I attempt to get them? Yes, I will.
At least they're interesting.
They're interesting. No, they're not bad by any means, but like if you wear it, like luckily I don't hang out with teenage boys, so they can't roast me for that. Mm-hmm. And I can wear them ironically around, you know, friends and fans of the game so you can have a laugh. But yeah, what is a Riggerer? And the thing, yeah, they look like Kobe's. They look like a lot of the Asian brands kind of look alike, where they're low top and they look like they have the craziest tech, but it's, you know, cheap materials. And but yeah, I'd love to get a pair if I can.
Yeah. The wish.com AR ones. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So the game we wanted to play with you, CJ, is now that you are a clothing magnate and you have a brand.
Yeah.
We want you to rate these player brands.
Love it.
So there will be links. Sean will send links in the chat.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's start.
I do this on my own, by the way.
I know. You also probably just know them for most part. But let's go with, first off, Fred VanVleet's Bet on Yourself merch.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's a decent logo. It looks like a motocross logo. No, it looks like, what was that Travis Barker band or brand?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does have like a Fox Racing style. Yeah, yeah. It looks like something a surfer would beat me up while wearing in the San Diego Gaslamp District.
Yeah. it also kind of seems like he has not made a lot of new merch. Like, it looks like everything's sold out at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Possibly he was focusing less on this and more on signing a gigantic free agent contract. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything is listed as
this definitely falls in line with like we may get to him, Kuzma's brand when he had Kuzmania merch and I ordered it and it didn't come for a year. Where it's like this stuff gets listed and it looks like he has a passion for fashion and then it never restocks. Mm-hmm. And there's no one running this portion of his website. So,
well, have you seen Paul's tweets where he's just constantly like, I swear I'm sending those t-shirts I sold you.
Yeah, actually, let's just look at, I want to just talk about the Christmas t-shirt for Kyle Kuzma's shop. Sure. Real fast.
Mm-hmm. No, Merry Kuzmas.
Merry Kuzmas.
Yeah.
He's really jamming his name into everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like not that flat. All these caricatures of Kyle Kuzma on his like aren't really that flattering.
Yeah, he looks like Bull from Night Court.
He's like, he looks really old. He does. I just can't imagine, like, it's I kind of can't see a Washington Wizards fan making a Christmas purchase like that. Now, If you click on, actually, let me just send you this one. The one I do really like is the cartoon. It's the baby onesie.
Okay, hold on.
So check out, it's the first item on this page.
Sure. This is like a more standard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like 80s style.
Yeah.
But also there's something really funny to me about putting a baby in a Kyle Kuzma.
And so a lot of what these players are doing now, and this is how Michael Rubin is as rich as he is mm-hmm. they say it's their own merch line, but this is clearly fulfilled by
Fanatics.
I think there's a brand called 500 Level,
mm-hmm.
and they just do these cheap printing onto like blanks.
Well, a lot of them also are Barstool, unfortunately, too.
Yeah. They do that same thing. And that's what I try to like. I mean, if Follow Through Clothing or whatever the brand ever blows up, we would have to explore options like this. I mean, no way would do this, but like the efficiency or whatever, drop shipping or whatever. But like, yeah, this is lazy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. So Fred VanVleet thumbs up, but Kyle Kuzma thumbs down. Is that where we're going here?
I'd give them both thumbs down, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. Great. Good.
Fred VanVleet feels a little more honest.
It's honest,
maybe.
But lazy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go with. I want to talk about Nick Nurse's brand.
Oh, you want to talk about Nick Nurse?
Yeah,
first?
we'll go. Yeah, yeah.
Hold
yeah.
on. Let me move that. That Nick Nurse, which I believe is for some.
Oops.
It's for the Nick Nurse Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which. I have a feeling is like a tax scam.
What I find strange is why does Nick Nurse sell a Nick Nurse crossover with Dr. J limited edition crew neck?
I don't understand it. There's a pic like the events page just has a big picture of Nick Nurse playing the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Joey, what band do you think performed there?
Oh, of him playing the piano? It's that band that that we always make fun of on this show that he's always playing with, right?
The Arkells.
Yeah, the Arkells, yeah.
Also one of his, he's also, there's someone named John Vinyl. It appears mm-hmm. like they've had one event ever.
But I want CJ to talk about this NN logo.
Talk about the gear. Talk about
that. I think the gear is bad. His logo looks like a daytime talk show host.
Yeah.
It looks like it should be in giant letters on a flat behind him as he talks about, you know, a parent kid relationship. It's this. I like the bobbleheads. They actually kind of
bobbleheads are the only good thing in this store, I think.
No, the stuff is strange. The Dr. Dre or Dr. J stuff is definitely strange. I'm a thumbs down on. I love Nick Nurse, but I'm a thumbs down on this stuff.
It's also like an off-brand Nine Inch Nails kind of thing. Like that's what it is. And the foundation is kind of weird too, because it's like it just says like music and sports. So it's supposed to be like literacy and music and sports, but it seems like they've just had like two basketball camps. Like it's almost like it's just an excuse for people to watch him play music. As if he was not an NBA head coach.
Now, Sean, will you please send CJ a series of Steve Nash photos that I love making fun of?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me give you the Steve Nash, his Indochino brand of suits did not sell enough.
But he does sell the worst shoes in the world.
Oh, yeah. These are horrendous. I mean, I've talked about a lot about athletic dress shoes. Where it's like, oh, these are athletic, but with sneaker soles. I mean, that was like a huge thing with NBA coaches. And I'm just like, pick one or the other. Yeah. Don't try to trick us. Yeah, these are horrendous.
And check out some of these photos.
Yeah, that's what I really want to talk about is the photos here. I'll send you one. How about this one?
So he's dribbling in suspenders in the first one.
While business papers fly around him. Or where's the one where he is?
Well, he and the CEO are both hanging from
they're dunking together. That one is good.
Feet up on a desk, no socks, spinning a basketball. In an executive chair.
One of my favorites, him dribbling while he's on the phone here. I just sent that to the chat.
That's KD and Kyrie are calling him on that.
Yeah.
I'm fired. And
there's also an amazing one I can no longer find where he's like drinking water out of a water cooler and the water there's like a giant puddle under his feet where you can tell they've filmed it like 30 times.
And also it's just weird that it's like Steve Nash's idea of what going to work would look like. It's like that's the weirdest thing is that he's like, I get like you're just leaning back in your chair all the time. Is that what?
Anyway, that's why he's no longer a coach, because this was not the grind for him. And finally, Sean, pick one more for CJ because he's got to go.
Let's look at, well, can he just, does he have a comment on the Steve? I don't care about the Curry gear, but I want to know about the Curry logo.
The Curry logo. Okay.
Yeah. let me look at it again. When I clicked the link before, I was like, the golf stuff actually looks kind of nice. But the logo is...
It's like fingers doing a three, but also graffiti style kind of, and also looks like it's in Comic Sans kind of.
Yeah, it definitely looks like snakes, or it looks like kind of like anime type stuff too. I don't know. It just doesn't go with him, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's also funny. If you watch that documentary, he has given out a lot of that gear to,
To anyone who says
everyone in his Davidson. Family is like, there's a lot of people wearing like, wow, this Curry logo is popular with Dell and Sonya and Seidel. I don't know about anybody else. actually just glance at this Russell Westbrook one real fast too. Okay. Like probably the most fashionable.
I like Honor the Gift, but the thing about it, it does. If you don't know Russell Westbrook, you don't know that this is his brand.
Yes,
so right. It's a bit of a cop out.
It's not a great name.
No,
I kind of like the name. Because here's why. It's clearly the kind of like dumb, smart thing a famous person came up with themselves, yeah. right? Like, and no one could tell them no. Yeah. And I love that.
Well, and you know, the not to shit on my own company, but I never really loved the name Follow Through. Like, I like the like people like, oh, double meaning. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of an accent. It, to me, in a way, it does sound too Christian. Some, if you think about
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've been able to, again, design and out and like do silly stuff with it that it's like sort of stuck and it's won me over. Mm-hmm. But like Honor the Gift is like, I'm going to buy this shit and I don't need to be spreading the good word while I'm hanging out with my buddies, having a drink or eating pizza. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost, it's in a way too aggressive with the message Honor the Gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think it's like, it's interesting because some of it's like, yeah, these are just regular clothes. Because almost everybody else is just like, we got to put the brand on it or the name on it, or it's got to have something to do with basketball. And he's kind of like, oh, I like that print.
Yeah.
What if we make a cardigan?
Yeah.
You know?
It's sort of the opposite of Steve Nash in that it looks good and also is probably comfortable as opposed to looking like shit and also looking uncomfortable as those athletic dress shoes, wingtips with a foam sole on them.
And they're only $275. Why wouldn't you shop Wolf and Shepherd, which is also a terrible name.
Terrible. But the guy that I will say, like the CEO and Steve Nash, they look like brothers. And then every guy who looks like those guys will definitely pay that for those penny loafer.
If they're like shoes for like people with like mid-tier tech jobs.
Well, it's like guys who used to have Steve Nash's long hair 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then cut it because they're growing up.
Yeah. Yep. They're guys who when you know how Mr. Rogers switches shoes when he comes home?
Yeah.
Those guys put on those on shoes.
Yeah.
When they get in the door. Well, CJ, you've got to go pick up your rental car.
No, I got to drop it back off.
Sorry, you got to drop off your rental car.
Just to make that clear.
Let's keep things accurate on this pod.
Thanks so much for coming on. When the season comes a little closer, we'll have you on for a full episode.
I want to be on more again. I remember I used to do a bunch, but
look, CJ, anytime you want to come on, just text us. We never have a guest, so
whenever Lakers things happen, always think of me, and I'm always down.
Okay,
until I get my own Lakers podcast, which I think that's too psychopathic at this moment to have a Lakers dedicated podcast. But yeah, I will love to get off some quick thoughts.
Yeah, well, let us know, CJ. And CJ, where can our listeners buy the Follow Through merch?
What's followthrough.shop. Followthrough.shop. Or if you just follow us on any social media, like you'll see it being promoted right now.
Buy the shorts. Buy the Eric Spoelstra shirt. Buy the hats. They're the best looking hats in the game.
Thank you.
Maybe CJ will see you wearing that merch at Summer League next year, and he'll.
I ran into a bunch of people at Summer League wearing it, and that was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
that is like, I'm committing to the joke, and you guys are like, by buying it, you are also committing to it and bridging. Stupid silly shit to be out there and in basketball, and that's what we want. So
sweet, thanks a lot, CJ.
Thanks.
See you soon. Peace. All right, Sean, is that our episode?
That's our episode.
Thank you, CJ. Buy the clothes, links in the description.
And I hope he didn't go woke, Joey. You know why?
Because I don't want him going broke.
I don't want him going broke.
Sean, is there anything you would like to plug? Litquake again first.
Litquake again in Blondie's Bar and No Grill. That's October 21st. I believe it's free. 6:30 to 7:30. Tentative appearance by Corbin A. Smith.
He better be there.
I know. I mean, he got a lot of lead time on this one. Let's just say that. I'll also be performing in Healdsburg on October 18th. Mm-hmm. August 18th. And you can read me at Golden State of Mind and Yard Barker. And oh, actually, check out on Giants Baseball Insider, the aforementioned Alex Schultz was kind enough to talk to me about the history of the Giants cheesesteak shop commercials, which is great. A very niche area, very but we got very deep. We got real deep.
And then as for me, I said it at the top of the show, but I am currently unemployed. If you know of any work in LA or remote, let me know. And then you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 7/27/23. I tweeted Outback for lunch, Texas Roadhouse for dinner. That's how I roll. Trust the process.
I actually have an original song for the first time in months, I have an original song.
Oh, let's hear it. What's it called?
It's called, it's about the Hernan Gomez brothers. It's a Towns Van Zandt song called Wancho and Willie.
Oh, great. That'll be playing on us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. We'll have some more episodes this month, I promise.
Acting in a Sandler film, it's gonna make you a big star. Now the Nuggets will want you back, and they can cut Vlatko Conchar. Got a fresh start with the Wolves, but management were dicks. They benched the kid cause he got COVID. Kept him out of the Olympics. Wancho was a tweener forward, in Eurobasket he showed out. Got mono in 2017, cause he did so much making out. Wancho was left high and dry by Arturis and then Masai. It's all enough to make you cry. So he's giving Grease a try. And all the analytics say he's way better than Killian Hayes. GMs let him slip away out of blindness, I suppose. Willie ain't no pelican. You can blame Zion Williamson. The toughest that Willie brought south ended up in Zion's mouth. When you're a basket MVP but couldn't get minutes domestically, he had to split the Big Easy. And now he's going home. And experts like Fran Fraschilla say they could have used him in L.A. They just added Jackson Hayes. It was mindless, I suppose. Barcelona gave Willie the bag. Wancho's on strike cause he's in sack. Plenty of ham and great leaf rolls. The NBA's got no Hernan Gomez. Wancho needs the ball, it's true, but throw the ball to Willie too. He don't have as many bad tattoos, but his market still went cold. And all the roster rules say they're not allowed to sign two ways. The NBA let him go to Greece. He's on Panathinaikos. And I heard Nate and Danny say his box score plus minus was grade A. He could save money at four hymns if he used a promo code. You know, it's easy to remember. We talk about it all the time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.